presentation is 3 years of field performance results of reniform nematode-resistant germplasm lines. Roloff Sikkens will make the presentation.
My presentation is basically a continuation of a presentation I did 2 years ago here in the same room. Then I presented the data from the first year. Now we have two additional years, and so we will look at some of the issues which we found. The objective of this study, of course, is very obvious in the name of my presentation. All right. The objective of my this study is, of course, contained in the title of the presentation. So we have reniform nematode resistant lines were released over a couple of years after 10 years of work, and we can now find four groups of different lines. One is the long-range group based upon resistance found in the longicalyx, the Barbarin line and the M713 lines, which have a resistance derived from the Babadensi, and the MT2468, which has a hirsutum resistance. So in 2013, we got 13 lines to test, and they stayed in our study for the 3 years. Then in 2014, we got six additional lines from Albel, and we included them. Included in that was a new supply of BAR41 seed, and so we decided that we kept them separate. We will continue with our own supply, what we generated in earlier studies, and consider the new seed as a different entry. Then in 2015, two more Barbarin lines were added, the bar 8 and bar 32. So in total, we ended up with 23 entries. And then we always use the susceptible controls, FM966 and SG747. To give you a little idea on the layout, the test was done in North Alabama on a field which was inoculated with reniform nematode 8, maybe 10 years ago. And although our tests were every year at the same field, their exact location within the field varied. And in 2013, you see where it was, 2015, 2014, it was on the southeastern side corner. Then up in the slide, you can see where the non-reniform nematode field was. So we tested on a nematode-infested site and on a non-nematode-infested site. Because of space limitations in 2014, the additional lines, which were given by Albel, were grown at a slightly different location than the main test. And that became a very interesting part. Another thing I have to mention here, that in 2014, there was a little bit of extra space, and with extra seed from bar 41, I grew them in the corner where next year the main test would occur. So I had Barbarin 41 at the same location where in 2014 we had a main test. This presentation, I will only give you a very short overview of the yield of two issues, the yield and the fiber quality. Ultimately, that's what the farmers are interested in. I will be not giving you a lot of detailed data. They will be coming in the conference proceedings, and later on I have to write a paper about it. In the second half, I will look at some interesting aspects of what we found. First, let's look at the yields. So we have the 3 years, 2013, 2014, 2015. You can see it in the graph, the blue one and the green one and the purple one are the different yields on the non-nematode field. The red one are the ones on the nematode field. And we can see that in all cases, especially in 2013 and 2014, long ran, the damage was terrible. And if you can see in the table, it was 84% and 81% yield damage, so loss of yield. In 2013, we had some yield losses also in MT2468 and the susceptible controls, but Barbarin and M713 did very well. Comes 2014, slightly different, where every group basically had pretty severe loss of yield, except for the Barbarin, the additional lines, which were planted at a slightly different location. 2015, we had very moderate damage. So if we summarize the seasonal losses, we can say 2013 it was substantial, 2014 it was very substantial except for the additional lines, and it was moderate in 2015. On the fiber quality, very few words. The fiber quality of all lines was very, very close to the control. And so by itself, this is an achievement that we have resistant material with good fiber quality. And as on a side note, lint yield turnout rates were always slightly higher on the nematode field rather than on the non-nematode field, which would indicate to me that the seed might not be as healthy coming from the nematode field as compared to the non-nematode field. Now we're looking at the initial reniform count. So at planting, we went when the planter was going through the field, we went with sampling, and we took soil samples from the top of the planting ranges. So if we look at 2013 and 2015, if you look at the table, the numbers are really high, but in 2014 they were low. But we earlier decided that the yield losses in 2013 were substantial. In 2014, despite the fact that the nematode numbers were very low, there was very substantial damage. And in 2015, when it had the highest numbers of reniform nematode at planting, we only saw moderate. So there is not a very clear correlation between initial nematode counts and ultimate the damage. In 2013, I planted those Barbarin 41 in the 2014 corner, and there also the nematode numbers were low compared to the 2013 on the main test. And in 2014, the additional lines was much higher than on the lower level, but the damage was far less severe. To give you an illustration, so on the top picture shows you a 2013 picture where we have on the one side the FM966, in the middle the bar 41, and on the right we have the longer end 21-4. It's more or less what we expected to see, but in 2013 on the side where we had deep, where we put the Barbarin 41 as a filler, we saw severe stunting. It might not be very visible in this picture, but by the time we didn't think too much about it. The reason being that, as you can see, there is severe damage next to the Barbarin 41. That was to assure everybody that there is no Roundup Ready resistance in the lines. That was an oops moment. And but there was severe stunting there. Then let's look at the mid-season plant heights. So we did not take plant heights in 2013. We only became aware of how important that is in a subsequent year. And so in 2014, we measured it in the two green bars are the ones on the non-nematode field, and then the blue one is on the nematode field in 2014, and the purple one, the plant heights in 2015. And you can see that the plant height in 2014 was by far more reduced than in 2015. And that is more or less what we can see in the yield. So if we plot the yield over it, we can see in 2014 that the price in yield was very high, except for the alternative location. And so, like with all real estate, location, location, location. In 2015, we saw far less high differences, and as a result, also far less yield differences. Early season egg counts. About 6 weeks after planting, we took four seedlings out of the nematode field, brought them to the lab, extracted eggs, and counted them. If we put then the susceptible controls at 100, then we can see that the long run had the same number of eggs, and the Barbran and M713 had far less. That's strange, because one of the pictures clearly showed that there was severe stunting also. So if we look a little bit, if we look a little bit at the long run, very high numbers, and then we also see the seasonal differences at the bottom, there is something going on. Considerable yearly variations in egg counts. We have high egg counts on the long run roots, and other reniform nematode resistant lines also show a progressive increase in egg and in reproduction. So, and the common trait here is that all these lines which are showing high numbers are in fact ones which have stayed the most of the time in our program, so have the most generations in our program. To see that a little bit, we can see in this graph, we are doing a lot of greenhouse screenings during the year, and long run 21 was this year always a standard control in it. So I have data from 97 different individuals. If we put them to, if we compare them to the susceptible reference level of 1, then long run is actually almost the same as the resistant controls, but the variation is very, very big. We have about two-thirds, hardly any reproduction, and one-third, it is increasing numbers. So are we seeing here some segregation? Maybe. The picture shows the seed we got in 2015 from a non-nematode field plot, and it sees that the green fuzz seed, which should be typical for the long run, has more or less disappeared. So, and we also see the same phenomenon in other resistant lines occurring. So is it because we are practicing unsafe breeding practices, meaning we don't sell them? The field is 4 hours of drive away. We can't really sell them. Are we not processing them? Are we contaminating them? Or is there segregation? We don't know yet. That is something we have to clearly think about it. But what is clear is that we have to be really careful in maintaining purity of lines. And then that has to be a major focus in plant breeding. Okay, in summary, I have to... Barbran and M713 did very well, but they are not immune. There is still some damage depending on the location, and preserving purity is very important. That's it.
We have time for a question. I think this whole group ate too much lunch.
Well,
I'll try to generate questions out of them. Okay, thank you.